I try not to allow the headlines to direct what is being preached. Too many people preach whatever comes up on the headlines, that's what we preach. But I feel like I want to take one lesson. It might be two or three lessons on the solar eclipse. You know, there's a big eclipse coming up. I think it's the 8th. Is it? Anybody confirm that? Well, it's coming up in like a week. It's supposed to be this big thing. So I never heard of it either. Well, I haven't heard of it either until just lately. I don't, follow all that to the T, but I have been seeing it pop up. And what happens is there are preachers and there are ministries that preach the headlines. And I say that because they'll take things that are happening in current events and then they'll cherry pick scripture verses and then they'll teach Christians false doctrine. So that's why I want to take a moment to address this idea of the solar eclipse, because there are some preachers that are telling people you can know that the Lord is close to coming. The Lord is coming if you look to the stars, if you look to the moon, if you look to the sun. Is that what we are supposed to do as believers? Are we supposed to look at how the sun lines up with the moon so we can know, wow, the Lord's coming back? Are we supposed to do that? Well, let's find out. Luke chapter 21. Look at verse number 20. Look at verse number 25 of Luke chapter 21. Luke 21, verse 25, watch what the Bible says. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. Wow. So apparently there are signs in the skies. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Wow, there's some signs up in the sky, and there's some things that are happening here on the earth. Is that in the Bible? It is in the Bible. Matter of fact, if you back up a little bit, look at verse number 10. Bible says that nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights, and here it is, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Wow, I guess there are signs. I guess we need to look on the earth for earthquakes, and I guess we need to look up in the sky to see a solar eclipse to say, oh, wow, it must be close from the Lord coming back. Now, does the Bible say there's some signs that are going to happen? The Bible does say that. Now, let's get some context. And the first thing I'd like to say is this. These things will happen. These things are future things that are coming. I want to get one cross-reference before I make some more comments, and I would like to go to Matthew 24. And Matthew 24 is the cross-reference chapter to Luke 21. Matthew 24 and Luke 21, keep that in your mind. Those are cross-reference chapters. And in the 24th chapter of Matthew, look at verse number 29. The Bible says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign, there it is again, of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I'm not a tribe of the earth. I'm a pilgrim. I am seated in heavenly places, and so are you as a Christian. Now, these signs are going to happen, but when are they going to happen? When an earthquake happens now, it's not the earthquake that has been prophesied in Matthew 24 and in Luke 21. We have the second coming of Christ, and when He comes, there's two things that are primarily going to happen with that. He is going to judge the earth. The other purpose of His coming is He is going to deliver the nation of Israel. Now, remember we were talking, you hear that Chronicles verse, when the brothers was praying about, you know, heal our land. Lord, You would heal our land if we turn our face and seek You. That was a promise that God gave the nation, right? God didn't give us that promise. He's not going to heal the United States of America's land. You know what land is going to be healed? The earthly land that God promised the nation of Israel. You know how it's going to be healed? In the millennial kingdom when He comes back during His second coming. The land will be completely and entirely healed. He will heal their land. Why? Because they will turn and they will seek His face. And that nation will be saved in a day. God is not dealing with the nation now. So in Luke chapter number 21 and in Matthew chapter number 24, all of those signs are prophetically for the time of Jacob's trouble. They are for Daniel's 70th week of prophecy, and it is for the deliverance of and the purifying of God's chosen people, the nation of Israel. So far, so good? Well, why can't that sign be for us? 1 Corinthians 1 is our first spot. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, look at verse 22. I want to back it up. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. Are there power in looking for signs in the skies? No. This is directly for us as Christians. We preach the cross. For it is written, verse number 19, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, and it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We saw it again. We are to preach. And people are saved when they believe. And watch the contrast. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Who requires a sign? Very clearly in the text. It's the Jewish people. So when God starts the time clock again for that 70th week of Daniel's prophecy, then He is going to issue signs because the Jews require, they always have required a sign and they always will require a sign. And so that will be brought back. But it's not for us to look at now. We are to preach the cross of Christ. But under that, look, one more verse, 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block. Why? Because they want to see a sign. So the stumbling block is we're just going to preach Christ. We're not going to say, hey, coming out to my house on the 8th, we're going to look at the solar eclipse and we're going to know that God's coming soon. No, you're not. Now, I want to look at it. I think it's absolutely beautiful and neat how God is created. But I'm not going to have you look at that and then tell you from the Bible, yeah, the Lord's come, it's close, we're close. It could. We were never required a sign. We are to preach Christ. And under the Jews, it's a stumbling block. Under the Greeks, foolishness. So the Jews require a sign. The second reason why we don't have to look at the solar eclipse to know that the Lord's coming back is 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I believe what's going to happen, God's in control of it, and it's beautiful to see how He has orchestrated things. But 2 Corinthians 5 tells me and tells you, for we walk by faith, not by sight. You can't have, it's like grace and works. You can't be saved by both. It's either one or the other. And if you're saved by works, don't call it faith. And if you're saved by faith, don't you dare bring in works. That make sense? Well, you can't walk by faith and by sight. We don't walk around like this. That's not our walk. Our walk is a faith walk. My wife and I would have never thought in a million years when we came to Tennessee, this is where we would end up. All of it was a walk by faith. Now, along the lines, I did pray, Lord, show me some something. And I'm sure you have too. You've been parts of your life where you're like, Lord, I need to see a sign. But God said, look, you have a faith walk. Walk by faith, be obedient to me, trust in me, and I will see you through it. We live and walk by faith. I got ahead of myself. Go to Romans 1. We'll see it again. We don't need to look to the solar eclipse to know God is coming soon. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And when you encounter, when we encounter things tomorrow, and by faith we trust God, you're ready now to have more faith to trust God in the next thing. But if you never start to walk by and live by faith, you're hurting, and I would be hurting myself. When I require God to show me something I can see, I am hurting my faith walk. Because I'm putting a requirement on God that God hasn't put on Himself, nor is He asking me to put on Him. He asks us to walk and live by faith. He doesn't. He has never required us to have to see anything. We got too many Thomas Christians. Okay, you want to see him? Here you go, Thomas. Have you ever seen the wounds in his hands? Have you ever seen the wounds in his feet? No. And God doesn't require you to see it. He says, believe. God says, I'm going to declare truth, and I ask you to believe it by faith. And you won't be able to see anything. This is why when you get saved, nobody sees what happens. It's something that happened internally. And it's a, and then from there, it's a faith walk. I'll tell you what we're to look for. Go to Titus 2. Go to Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2, verse number 13. Here's what we are to look for. Verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we are to look for. Okay. Amen. How do I do that, Lord? Let's read verse 12. Because it's interesting that the looking doesn't seem to involve our eyes. Read the verse with me in the context here. Watch in verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, semicolon, looking for that blessed hope. The looking isn't with our eyes, the looking is with our living. How do we look for that blessed hope? Do you think that we walk around like this all day? Nobody does. Nobody does. But when we live soberly and righteously and godly, when we live that way, that is how we are looking for that blessed hope. I'm not saying I don't look up. I do. And in many ways, our walk is this way with our view. I mean, literally, we don't do this. But like we talked about before, how when we talk about those parables and the parable of the sower and how we, too many of us, I mean, no one literally walks around like this looking at the ground. But spiritually, God is warning us not to do that, because if we do, we'll start to be frustrated and concerned about the ground. Instead, what does that parable of the sower teach us? To do what? Just cast the seed. Just bear precious seed. Just throw the seed. Don't look down at the ground. Well, it's the same idea with our living in Titus 2. Yeah, we don't literally walk like this, but as we live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, that's basically what we're doing. We're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we don't live like that, we will be deceived by what's going down, what's happening on the earth, and we're going to be headline preachers. Or we'll be deceived about what's going on in the heavens, and all we will do is be current event Christians. We're just dragged along with whatever current event's coming on. We're just going to run to Luke 21 or Matthew 24. If you have, I know those of you who've been here for a while, you probably heard all the Matthew 24 and 25 stuff. But if you haven't listened to that verse by verse, that's an in-depth of all of this. For now, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. Because here's another verse that people will go to deceive Christians into thinking that they somehow have to look at what's going on in the skies to know when the Lord's coming. And we don't have to do that. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. That is right. Okay, watch what it says. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, again, we've got 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, verse by verse, really in depth. If you can watch those, you'll get a deep dive. But this is going to be just a quick overview. You don't have to look at the times and seasons to know when the day of the Lord is coming. First off, because the day of the Lord is not the same. 1 Thessalonians 4 talks about the catching away of the saints. And this catching away of the saints happens before the time of Jacob's trouble. When you get to chapter number 5, now it switches to the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is not the same as the catching away of the saints. The day of the Lord happens at the end of Daniel's 70th week. They're two completely different things. 1 Thessalonians 4 talks about the catching away of the saints. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, now there's a contrast from that to the day of the Lord. One of them happens before the tribulation. One of them happens after the tribulation. They're not the same things. And so when you see here, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. I don't have to look at the seasons. I'll hold that. I'll try to tie that thought together with this chapter. Go to Acts 1. Go over to Acts 1. Let's see if I can tie this together a little better. Acts 1, verse number 6. No, that is not right. Oh, yeah, that is right. Okay, thank you. It's 7. Okay, so we'll start at verse 6. Acts 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time, restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and in Acts chapter 1, this has absolutely nothing at all to do with the rapture of the church, the catching away of the saints. It has absolutely nothing to do with it. So when you see times and seasons in 1 Thessalonians 5, you have to remember the contrast changed from 1 Thessalonians 4, where it was dealing with the saints being caught up, to now when the Lord comes back. And they're two different things. This times and seasons has everything to do with the kingdom. Is it here? It is. At the end of verse 6. Restore again the kingdom to Israel. This times and seasons is directly related to when God is going to restore Israel's kingdom. When their land will be healed. When will we be brought back? When will we be restored, Lord? And He's going to do that. And that's going to come after Daniel's 70th week, or what people would call the tribulation or the great tribulation. Biblically, we should say either the time of Jacob's trouble or Daniel's 70th week. Because right now we're enduring some tribulation. So just a way to qualify and distinct. So let me ask you, as believers, are we going to take part in the day of the Lord? We are. But we are going to come with the Lord when He comes back to the earth. When He establishes His kingdom, we are already have been called up, and we are going to come back with the Lord. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, in but ye brethren are not in darkness. So that's the other thing chapter 5 does. It gives a contrast between ye and them, us and them. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, I'm going to contrast the children of the light versus the children of the darkness. And so when we get to this verse number 4, and it says, that day should overtake you as a thief, we're not going to be overtaken as a thief. There are some that will, but it won't be us. We are already going to be caught up, and then we are going to come back with the Lord. And so there's two different types of children that are contrasted in chapter 5. Children of the light and children of the darkness. When we get caught up, 1 Thessalonians 4, Jesus does not return to the earth. At His second coming, Jesus does return to the earth. That's when His feet touch Mount of Olives. In between that time is when those times and season passages and those earthquake passages and those all that is going to occur. And the Jews are finally going to look and live. They're going to flee to the mountains. Why? Because they require a sign, and all that plays out when God deals with the nation. But right on April 8th, God isn't dealing with the nation. April 8th, something really cool is going to happen, and I want to see it. And you probably do too. But it has nothing to do with the coming of the Lord. At the rapture, or at the catching away of Christ's church, He takes His church where? To heaven. At the catching away, His church is taken to heaven. At His second coming, Christ will come from heaven with His church to the earth. Right. And getting all that stuff hashed out. The rapture or the catching away of the saints, what follows that? The time of Jacob's trouble, that 7-year period. At Christ's second coming, when Christ comes and His feet touch Mount of Olives, what follows that? The millennial kingdom. The land will be healed. And we will see that play out. 2 more passages and then we'll be done. Psalms 19. And 2 Timothy 3. We could build a bigger church and I could write a bestseller and we can do that if we were a current event church. We looked at the current events in the skies and on the earth and we wrote a book about it. The Lord's coming in, 2024 because there's a solar eclipse I think it's a solar. I don't know. There's lunars and solars and okay, so it's a solar. What's the difference? I don't know, but the sun, the moon, and all that. Cool stuff. I don't know how it all works, but I know it's cool. And Psalms 19, it says, "The heavens, verse 1, declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day utter their speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the earth. In them have you set a tabernacle for the sun." Now, I think that's cool. You can look up into the heavens, and you can see the glory of God. It's a glorious thing, what He has created and how just immense it is. It just speaks to His glory, His handiwork, and His power. It's great. I'm not saying don't look at it or watch it. You need your special goggles, though. Or that's what I've heard. Is that true? Because if you don't, like, your eyeballs will fall out or something, right? No. But I think you're supposed to wear them so you don't hurt your cornea or something. All right, last one, 2 Timothy 3, and we'll be done. I know if you've been here long enough, you're probably tired of me going to this chapter, but I feel we should look at it at least one more time before the eclipse comes. 2 Timothy 3. There's two last days. People say we're in the last days. Okay, yeah, but there's two last days. There's a last day for Israel. Luke 21, Matthew 24, Matthew 25. Those are the last days for Israel. Time of Jacob's trouble. Daniel 9. We see that all prophetically played out. But there's also a last days for the church. Now, when did those last days start? Is Paul writing this under the Holy Spirit's inspiration? Was Paul dealing with this stuff? Well, he says in verse number 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Paul was living in the last days. And you know what he was looking for? That blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. How far are we removed from Paul? And you know what we're doing? The same thing. We're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God. We are in the same perilous times that Paul and Timothy were in. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Tell me when, just stop me when we see the blood moon pop up here. "Covetous, boasters, proud." Do we see any stars and skies and earthquakes and famines? "Blasphemers, disobedient to parents." You paying attention, kids? "Unthankful." Wake up, young ones! "Unthankful." Did you thank your mom and dad for a bed to sleep in? Did you thank God that you have parents that work hard and provide food? No? Well, guess what? We're in the last days because of you. Man, that'll preach. It will preach. You know what? Unholy, without natural affection. We see all that all over the place. Truce breakers. False accusers. Oh, man, you want to talk about having a church ripped apart. Just come up with some false, get some false accusers in there. I'll rip that thing wide open. Where did that come from? The last days. That's where it came from. And that has nothing to do with a blood moon, a solar eclipse, an earthquake, none of that. Stop looking up to live by faith and walk by faith. This thing isn't hard. We don't need to preach headlines. We need to preach the book. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Where is that? The last days, where is all of that taking place? In the hearts of men and women. That's how we know we're in the last days. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now listen to this one, ladies. For of this sort are they which creep into houses. Ladies, you need to watch out for the creepers. I mean, God tells us. God tells, watch out for those creepers. And leads captive silly women laden with sins. Don't be a silly woman that gets Okay? You got to turn from this stuff. Led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I'll end with this thought. Ladies and gentlemen, too, we'll take an application from this verse for all of us. Don't buy the New York Times bestseller that has the lunar eclipse with some false preacher on it, or listen to some deliverance guy who doesn't know his Bible from third base when it comes to rightly dividing it, and have them take you captive in all these silly things. You're going to be ever learning about all the moons and all the stars and all the suns, and God says, would you quit and just walk and live by faith? You're not a Jew. You don't require a sign. Now quit asking me for one. God says, quit it. Would you just preach the gospel and live and walk by faith?